So reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adilila, chapter 17, verses 29 to 31, chapter entitled Pastimes of the Lord in His Youth. So I'll read 29 and 30, and then we'll recite 31 together. Thus a Vaishnava should not ask anything from anyone else. If someone gives him something without being asked, he should accept it. But if nothing comes, a Vaishnava should be satisfied to eat whatever vegetables and fruits are easily available. One should strictly follow the principle of always chanting the holy name, and one should be satisfied with whatever he gets easily. Such devotional behavior solidly maintains one's devotional service. Translation in purport by Srila Prabhupada. Translation: one who thinks himself lower than the grass, who is more tolerant than a tree, and who does not expect personal honor, yet is always prepared to give all respect to others, can very easily always chant the holy name of the Lord. Purport: the grass is specifically mentioned in this verse because everyone tramples upon it, yet the grass never protests. This example indicates that a spiritual master or leader should not be proud of his position. Being always humbler than an ordinary common man, he should go on preaching the cult of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Om Gyanan Timirandasya Gyanan Jana Shalakaya Chakshurum Militamyana Tasme Shri Gurave Namaha Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pashaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Pashtata Distatanine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So before I begin, I just want to seek the blessings of all the devotees here. So I can speak something appropriate for this wonderful verse. I don't feel very qualified to speak on this verse. I think someone more appropriate or qualified should perhaps speak on this, but Niskinchana Chaitanya somehow or other convinced me to speak today. So as we know, this is a well-known verse, a very famous verse. And in this section of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, this verse and its importance is explained. And particularly in this verse, what we see is that four qualities are being promoted if we want to always chant the holy name of the Lord. Kirtaniya Sadahari. So the first quality that's required for a devotee is that one has to be humble, humility. And this is explained in the first part of this verse. It says, Dinat api suniche na. Now, and I'm sure you may have come across this, but this first part has been sometimes translated in two different ways. Sometimes you hear the idea that we should be lower than a straw on a street. And sometimes we also hear the idea that we should be more humble than a blade of grass. And the word used here is dinat. And the stem form is trina, which can be translated as either grass or straw. So, I mean, but the more common one is grass. And here in the purport, Prabhupada talks about how everyone tramples upon grass, yet the grass never protests. So as Vaishnavas, as devotees, this is the type of, or the characteristic that we should aspire for. That despite any difficulties that we go through, despite shame that we may go through, that we don't protest and we carry on in our devotional service. It's also interesting because here we also have the word sunichena, which is translated here as being lower. The prefix su is often used to connotate the idea of very, right? And so here you have very, and then you have this word nicha. And those from a Gujarati family may know that this is a, you know, sometimes your mother perhaps or your masis may sometimes say nich, which is a very, it's a derogatory term, and it means someone who's very low. Even recently in, if you follow Indian politics, there was a big political contest in Gujarat elections. And one political opponent called the current prime minister nich. And his response to it was, I've been called many things. I've been called a Ravana, I've been called Hitler, I've been called a virus, a dog, and now I'm being called a niche by the other party. And so there was a huge public outcry. But what one understands is it's a very, very derogatory term, and it connotates the idea of being very low. So here, in this first line, it said that one should feel extremely low, lower than a blade of grass. And this connotates the idea of humility. A few verses later, Prabhupada once again refers, well, actually Krishnadas Kaviraj is here referring to this verse, but Prabhupada in his purports, he refers to this first line in a certain context. He's in the purport, he's describing a class of people in India known as the Hadis. And the Hadis are, they're the sweepers, they're involved in public sanitary activities, they clean stool, etc. And Prabhupada explains that even such classes of people, they can take to the practice of Krishna consciousness. And then he quotes this verse, Dinadapi Sanichana, Tare Ava Sahishana. And he says that this verse indicates that one must be above the material conception of life. And when one thoroughly understands this, that he's not the material body, then he is even lower, or he thinks himself lower than even such lower castes. So actually, the idea of this verse is actually meant to bring us beyond the material conception of life. And in that state, one sees themselves as low, as humble. It's also interesting in that purport, Prabhupada, and this is kind of a side point, Prabhupada makes a reference to Mahatma Gandhi. And Mahatma Gandhi, as we know, he was a pivotal figure in helping India become free from British rule in India during the colonial reign. And Mahatma Gandhi, he had this idea to elevate the untouchables, the lower castes. Specifically in India, they're known as the Dalits or the downtrodden. And the way he did this was he labeled them as Harijans. Now, Harijan means the people of Hari or the children of Hari. And Prabhupada explains in this purport, he was a little bit critical of Mahatma Gandhi in the purport. He says that Mahatma Gandhi started the Harijan movement to purify the untouchables. But he was a failure because he thought that one could become a Harijan, a personal associate of the Lord, through some kind of material adjustment. But that is not possible, he said. In another place, Prabhupada gives the example of, he talks about a saying in Bengal, where there's a father who has a blind son. And he refers to his blind son, out of affection, as the lotus-eyed one. And Prabhupada says, you may say that out of affection, but the reality is someone who's lotus-eyed has beautiful eyes. So in the same way, Prabhupada says that Mahatma Gandhi may refer to them as Harijans, but the only way that actually someone can become a Harijan is if they take to the path of bhakti. And Prabhupada gives examples of Harijans like Narada Muni and Vyasa and so on. The second part of this verse is Taro Eva Sahishnuna. So Sahishnuna means one who is tolerant. And tolerant, and Eva means like. And like what? A tree. So this verse also states that we should learn to be tolerant like a tree. And a tree is tolerant in so many ways, right? Despite whatever weather conditions there may be, whether it's cold, whether it's snowing, we've had snow recently, whether it's windy, whether it's raining, whether it's, you know, the hottest summer, the tree remains rooted. And not only does it remain rooted, it provides shelter and shade. If you cut a tree doesn't protest. A tree provides fruits. The wood from a tree can be used to create fires, to build a shelter. So in so many ways, we can learn from a tree, tolerance from a tree. And so this example is given here in this verse here. And actually, this is the standard of a saintly person, that whatever difficulties may come to them, still their spirit is always to give, to be kind, to be compassionate. And a story that comes to mind, and I'm sure you've heard many times, is the story of the saint and the scorpion. There's a saint who's passing a riverbank, and he notices a scorpion in the river. And there's a passerby who's also observing the scene. And the saint, out of compassion, out of kindness, goes to pick up the scorpion from the river because the scorpion's drowning. However, each time he tries to do this, the scorpion bites the saint. And despite getting bitten, the saint continues to try and pick up the scorpion. So the bypasser is bemused why this is taking place. So he approaches the saint. And the saint explains, just as a scorpion has a nature to bite, I also have a nature to be compassionate and to help. Also in the scriptures, what we see is that there's different levels of tolerance described. Like there's one level of tolerance which is on the level of intelligence. So we hear in the Gita, Matra sparsa stukunteya sitosna sukadukada agama paino nityas damtitikshasva bharata. So just as winter and summer come, happiness and distress comes. In the Sanskrit, the word anitya is used, which describes that these things are temporary. So we can kind of take shelter and solace in that. If we're going through a difficult period, that, you know, just as summer comes, winter comes, so you're going through some distress, but happiness will come also soon. So this is on the level of intelligence. However, in the Bhagavatam, we see in certain places a higher level of tolerance being described, particularly in the 10th canto when Lord Brahma is offering prayers to the Lord. And in a particular verse, Tatte nukampa samikshamana bunjina vatma kitam vipakan. So it explains that a devotee, whilst undergoing all sorts of difficulties created by his own karma, eva atma kritam, atma means the self, kitam means by doing activities, vipakan, the fruits that come, Rid vag vapur bir vidhadhan namaste. He continues with his heart, with his rid, with his vak, his words, his vapur, his body. He continues to offer obeisances to the Lord. And this, in this spirit, jivate yo sadayabak. Jivate yo muktipade yo sadayabak. That mukti becomes his inheritance, his rightful claim. And Prabhupada gives a very powerful purport in that verse. And he explains that a devotee who has this spirit, he understands that any karma that's coming to him, any difficulties that are coming to him, are there to stifle his enjoying spirit. Any last remnants in his mind of this enjoying spirit will be curbed by him receiving these difficulties in his life. Prabhupada also explains in that verse that the whole purpose of the material world and the reactions that we get in this material world are simply to help us to understand that this isn't a world that we enjoy. He also explains in that purport that the Supreme Lord, he's the Supreme Pure. And if you want to approach the Supreme Pure, you have to undergo a severe purificatory process. He also gives the example, just like the sun, if you want to approach the sun, you have to be like fire. So a devotee who understands these things understands that any difficulties that are coming in our lives is actually coming from Krishna to help us become better, to help us to take a step towards him. So this verse conveys tolerance. The next quality that's described here is amanina. And here amanina is translated by Prabhupada as being without being puffed up by false pride. The word itself is amanin. And usually when you have this kind of in suffix at the end, it usually in Sanskrit it's meant that someone possesses something. So for example, you have hastin, so one who possesses a hand. This is a term that's used to describe an elephant. The trunk is kind of compared to a hand. Or someone who practices yoga is known as yogin. Or someone who practices tapas is known as tapasvin. So here we have this word amanin, which indicates that one who possesses no pride, one who possesses no pride. The other quality here that's mentioned is mana dana. Dana means to give. Mana means honor or respect here. So such a person has, not only does he not expect respect or honor, he also gives respect to others. In one place, Prabhupada describes humility as one should not be anxious of being honored by others. One should not be anxious to be honored by others. If we look at the other way of looking at it is, pride means, in that case, the anxiety of wanting to be honored as a source of happiness. I mean, so often in our lives, we act and do things to please others, to get honor from others. I mean, trying to please the devotees is the goal of life. But if we're doing it just to get respect and honor and prestige, then this is a misunderstanding and is being discouraged by this verse. So in this verse, four qualities are conveyed: humility, tolerance, to not want respect or honor, and to give respect and honor. And if one can imbibe these four qualities, then it's said that one can kirtaniya sadahari. One can always chant the holy names of the Lord. And the author of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he's very enthusiastic and excited by the verse. And in fact, in the next verse, which is tomorrow's class, he says, Udva bahukari kahon sune sarvaloke. It's described that Krishna Skyraj, he raises his hands and he declares to everyone, he says, Shuno, he says, listen, sarvaloke, everyone of the world, nam sutre ganti. So he says, thread this verse upon, or string this verse upon the thread of the Naam, of the holy name. Pare kanti e shloke, and put it around your neck. And he says, if you do this, you are guaranteed to receive the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the mercy of Lord Krishna. So this is a very powerful verse, and it's guaranteed that if we imbibe these qualities whilst chanting the holy name, we are guaranteed to receive the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Krishna. And this verse appears three times in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the verses themselves. Prabhupada profusely quotes this verse in various purports. But in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it occurs three times in three different places. And it's always associated with chanting the holy name. Shishi Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Gornitai ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So this verse appears in three different places in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And it always appears in the context of chanting the holy name. And of course, this is the first context that it appears in. It appears in this chapter entitled The Pastimes of the Lord in His Youth. And Krishnadas Kaviraj, in this chapter, he provides a synopsis of the Lord's different pastimes in his youth. And just prior to this verse being shared, Krishnadas Kaviraj, he shares a pastime between Suklambar Brahmachari and Lord Chaitanya. It's described that Lord Chaitanya is ecstatic and Suklambar Brahmachari appears on the scene. And Suklambar Brahmachari had this begging bowl. And in this begging bowl, it was filled with rice that he had collected. So Mahaprabhu, in ecstasy, he took the bowl off Suklambar Brahmachari and he ate the rice. And after this pastime, it's described that Lord Chaitanya begins to describe the glories of the holy name to him. And he quotes a famous verse, Hari Nam, Hari Nam, Hari Nam, Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva, Nasteva, Nasteva Gatir Anyata. Anyone know where this verse is from? Yes, Brihadnarada Purana. And it's explained in this verse and explained in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that Hari Nam is repeated how many times in this verse? Three times. And Prabhupada explains in the purport, to emphasize something to an ordinary person, one may repeat it three times. Just as one might say, you must do this, you must do this, you must do this. We also have the word Eva, which is kind of an emphatic particle to emphasize a word. So it usually appears after the word it's emphasizing. And so that also appears three times. Also we see the word Kevala is used. And the idea is that the usage of the word kevala in the verse prohibits all other processes, such as, you know, gyan or mystic yoga or the performance of austerities and fruitive activities. So in this context, this verse is being shared. Dinad bisanichana, dorove sihishana, amanina manadina, kirtaniya sadahari. The second time we see this verse appearing in the Chaitanya Charitamrita is in the Antyalila. And in the Antyalila, the meeting of Lord Chaitanya and Raghunath Das Goswami is being described. Now, as we know, Raghunath Das Goswami is an exalted Vaishnava. He's particularly known for his renunciation. It's described his adherence to vows and penances were like lines etched in stone. It's also described how he was raised in an extremely wealthy family. His father and uncle, Hiranya Majumdar and Govardhan Majumdar, they had extreme wealth through their service and responsibility for the regime in Bengal at that time. However, he had this hankering to perform devotional service, and continually he was thinking of how he could attain the shelter of Lord Chaitanya. And eventually he receives the mercy of Lord Nityananda, which qualifies him to receive the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Anyone know how he received the mercy of Lord Nityananda? He performed a very specific activity. Sorry? Yeah, so the Panihati Festival. At the Panihati Festival, Lord Nityananda requested Raghunath Das Goswami to serve all of the devotees by offering chipped rice with yogurt. And by that, he attained the mercy of Lord Nityananda. And Lord Nityananda said to Raghunath Das Goswami that very soon you will attain the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And as a consequence of that interaction with Lord Nityananda, not long after, Raghunath Das Goswami, with the help of his priest, Yadunanda Acharya, was able to escape his home because he actually had prisoners keeping him at his home. But somehow or other, he was able to elude the prisoners and he was able to escape. And eventually, he attained the association of Lord Chaitanya. And when he arrived in Puri and he attained the association of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya told him to take shelter of a specific devotee. Anyone know which devotee this was? Swamadamada. As a consequence, Raghunath Das Goswami, he's sometimes known as Swarupera Raghu, or the Raghunath of Swarup. So Lord Chaitanya told Raghunath Das Goswami to take shelter of Swarup Damodar. Raghunath Das Goswami, he would never, it's described, he would never talk to Lord Chaitanya directly. He would either go through his personal servant, Govind Prabhu, or he would also either go through Swarup Damodar. On one occasion, he wanted to ask Lord Chaitanya a question. So Swarup Damodar approached the Lord. And the Lord, in his humility, said that Swarup Damodar knows the answers to all questions. And in fact, he knows more than me even. But nevertheless, if you insist, he asks him, you know, he says that, what is my purpose? What am I meant to do? And he responds as a renunciate, what am I meant to do? And he responds, he says, Gramya kata na shunibe, gramya varta na kahibe, bala na kahibe, ara bala na paribe. He says that one should, as a renunciate, one should not engage in, well, gramya actually means village talk or ordinary talks. One should neither talk such things or neither one should hear such things. He also says as a renunciate, one should not eat opulently, nor should one dress extravagantly. Then he says, Amani na mana dha hane Krishna naam sadha labe. Again, one should not expect honor. One should give respect to others. Krishna naam sadha labe. One should always chant the holy name of the Lord. Braje radha Krishna seva manase karibe. And in one's mind, manase, one should perform Radha Krishna seva, Radha Krishna in Vrindavan, Braje. And in this context, after giving these instructions to Raghunath Das Goswami, Lord Chaitanya speaks this verse, Janada Pisi Nichana, Tarovi Sahishana, Manina Manadena, Ketaniyad Sadahadi, to summarize the instructions that he had shared with Raghunath Das Goswami. And the third place that we see this verse coming up is in the final chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the Antalila. Does anyone know the name of the final chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita? The Shashastakam prayers. The Shashastakam prayers. And this is the concluding chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's described that Mahaprabhu is becoming less and less conscious of this world and more absorbed in the spiritual world. As a result, he's passing his nights in association with two of his most intimate associates. Who are? Ramananda Roy and Swarup Damodar. And in this association, they're relishing various verses. They're relishing verses from Jayadev Goswami's Gita Govind. They're relishing verses from Srimad Bhagavatam. They're relishing verses from Bilva Mangal Thakur's Krishna Kanamrita. And they're also relishing the Shashastakam prayers, Lord Chaitanya's very own verses. And preceding this verse, Janada Pisanichana, Lord Chaitanya says to Swarup Damodar and Ramananda Roy, listen, I will now tell you the character of one who can chant the Hare Krishna mantra to easily awaken prem for Krishna. And as a consequence, again, this verse is spoken. So we see that this verse is crucial to imbibe as sadhakas, as devotees, if one wants to attain perfection in chanting, if one wants to attain prem by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. We also see in that final chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the first time that the Shashastakam prayers are placed in the order. These prayers actually appear in a text by Rupa Goswami known as the Padyavali. But they're not placed in any order. They're scattered across the Padyavali. And the Padyavali is kind of it's an anthology. It's a collection of poems or verses. But in this concluding chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Das Kaviraj places them in an order. And this order denotes a practitioner from the very beginning to the highest stages of devotional service, from Shraddha to Prem. And not only does Krishna Das Kaviraj for the first time place them in an order, he also provides a historical setting for these verses. And the historical setting is that these verses are being shared in this way at the end of the Lord's manifest Leela, the Lord sharing them in this intimate association. So what Lord Chaitanya, what Krishnadas Kaviraj is doing by sharing these verses in this way, he's bringing out the importance of the Shastakam verses. And even the way he presents Trinadapisi Nichana, his verse here, where he says that one should thread this verse on the string of the holy name, he's bringing out the importance of this verse. And it's really by his efforts that we understand the importance of not just Trinadapisi Nichana verse, but also the Shastakam verse. So who is Krishnadas Kaviraj? Of course, we know him as the author of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. The author here in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he gives a brief description of how he came to Vrindavan and how he became the author of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Does anyone know where Krishnadas Kaviraj was born, or at least residing according to the Chaitanya Charitamrita originally? Well, according to the verses, he was residing in a place called Katwa. And Katwa was also the place where, anyone know? Lord Chaitanya took sannyas. So it's described, Krishnadas Kaviraj, he resided in Katwa, and he lived with his brother. And in his house, all day and night, kirtan would be going on. And on one occasion, a devotee called Miniketan Ram came to participate in the kirtan. And Miniketan Ram, he's a famous, a renowned devotee of Lord Nityananda. And just as Lord Nityananda is avadut, so some of his followers were also avaduts. And Miniketan Ram was one such devotee. And as a result, Miniketan Ram's activities were quite extraordinary. It's described that sometimes devotees would be paying obeisances, and out of ecstasy, Miniketan Ram would climb on their back or climb on their shoulders. And Miniketan Ram, he had this flute, and sometimes he would whack devotees with the flute. Sometimes he would mildly slap devotees as well. But this was all done in his ecstatic pure devotion. It's also described from the eyes of Miniketan Ram, tears would constantly flow. And anyone who would see Miniketan Ram would also well up with tears. It's described also, his skin would erupt in ecstasy, and his skin would sometimes resemble kadamba flowers. It's also described how in ecstasy, one of his limbs would tremble and another limb would be stunned simultaneously. So Miniketan Ram was a very special devotee. And one day he visited the house of Krishnadas Kaviraj and participated in the kirtan. Within the home of Krishnadas Kaviraj, there was one priest. His name was Gunanava Mishra. And this priest was engaged in serving the deities. It's described that he was a Kanishtha devotee. So he had appreciation for the deity, however, he didn't have appreciation for the devotees. And consequently, he didn't offer respects to Miniketan Ram. As a result, Miniketan Ram, he chastised him and said, "Here, look here. It's a second Romaharshan Sutta." So we know the story of Romaharshan Sutta, how he was speaking to the sages of Lamisharanya, and Balaram walks in. All the sages offer respects. However, Romaharshan Sutta doesn't. So in the same way here, Gunanarva Mishra fails to offer respects to Miniketan Ram. As a result, Miniketan Ram chastises him. However, Gunanarva Mishra, he accepts this chastisement and carries on with his service. Sometime later, however, Krishnadas Kaviraj's brother, he's upset by how Miniketan Ram has treated his priest. And so as a result, there's an argument that ensues between Miniketan Ram and Krishnadas Kaviraj's brother. And as a result, Miniketan Ram is angry, and he breaks his fruit and leaves. The reason why Krishnadas Kaviraj's brother didn't appreciate what he did was because he didn't have faith in Nityananda. However, he had faith in Lord Chaitanya. So Krishnadas Kaviraj, he chastises his brother. And he explains that Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda are like brothers. So you cannot disrespect one and respect the other. He compares them to being part of one body. He compares the logic as Ardha Kukuti Nyai. Ardha Kukuti Nyai is the half hen logic. So if you have a hen, and the hen you have to feed, of course, and the hen provides eggs. So one may think, to be more efficient, let's cut off the head of the hen. So in the same way, Krishnadas Kaviraj explains to his brother that you have to appreciate both. And he says, actually, better to be an atheist and offend both than offend one and be a hypocrite and apparently respect the other. So that night, Krishnadas Kaviraj, he had a dream. And in that dream, Nityananda appeared. And Nityananda specifically appeared because he was pleased that he had chastised his brother. And in that dream, Lord Nityananda gives him the instruction to go to Vrindavan. So Lord Nityananda specifically gave him that instruction, and Krishnadas Kaviraj, the moment he woke up, he left for Vrindavan. When he arrived in Vrindavan, Krishnadas Kaviraj, he took shelter of Rupa Goswami, he took shelter of Sanatan Goswami, he takes shelter of Raghunath Das Goswami. Now, at that time in Vrindavan, the Chaitanya Bhagavat had become quite prominent. Who's the author of Chaitanya Bhagavat? Vrindavan Das Thakur. And Vrindavan Das Thakur, he had focused on specific pastimes of the Lord. Anyone know which pastimes of the Lord? Huh? It's childhood pastimes. Specifically pastimes prior to sannyas, pastimes in Navadvip, and particularly because he was a great devotee of Lord Nityananda, pastimes involving Nityananda. So the devotees were relishing these pastimes, but they also wanted to hear about the later pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. So many, many devotees requested Krishnadas Kaviraj to write about Lord Chaitanya's later pastimes. However, Krishnadas Kaviraj was reluctant and wasn't sure. So he went before specific deities in Vrindavan. Anyone know which deities? Madan Mohan deities, right. So he went to request the Madan Mohan deities to give an answer. And anyone know what happened when he went to offer prayers? He went with various devotees, but something specifically happens. The garland fell off the deity, and the priest, Goswami Das, he handed the garland to Krishnadas Kaviraj. And so for Krishnadas Kaviraj and the devotees, this was confirmation that the Lord desired for the Chaitanya Charitamrita to be compiled. And in fact, we see in many verses that Krishnadas Kaviraj, he gives credit to Madan Mohan for the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and he describes himself as a parrot who's simply repeating the dictation of Madan Mohan. He also compares himself to a doll that's being controlled, a wooden doll that's being controlled by a puppeteer. And Madan Mohan, in this case, is the puppeteer. And what's also interesting is that, I mean, does anyone know how Krishnadas Kaviraj learnt about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's later pastimes? Because, of course, he wasn't in Puri when the pastimes were taking place. So Raghunath Das Goswami. So he learned about Mahaprabhu's later pastimes from Raghunath Das Goswami, who had heard about many of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes from Swarup Damodara. It's described that Swarup Damodara had a kadacha. He had had notes, made notes on Lord Chaitanya's later pastimes. So in this way, we understand the special position of Krishnadas Kaviraj and his role in compiling the Chaitanya Charitamrita and bringing verses like this verse that we have here today, Tinada Pisanichana, Tarovi Sahishana, Mani Namanadena, Ketanya Sadahari, into prominence. Today is also the appearance of anyone, or disappearance rather, of Jagadish Pandit. So I wanted to read a little about Jagadish Pandit to honor him on this day. If I can find it. Oh, it's not in here. So Jagadish Pandit, this is the translation of the verse. Jagadish Pandit, the 15th branch of Lord Nityananda's followers, was the deliverer of the entire world. Devotional love of Krishna showered from him like torrents of rain. Purport. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes in his Anubhasya, descriptions of Jagadish Pandit are available from the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Adi Khand, chapter 6, and the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, chapter 14. He belonged to the village of Yashada Gram in the district of Nadia near the Chakardaha railway station. His father, the son of Bhatta Narayan, was named Gamalaksha. Both his father and mother were great devotees of Lord Vishnu, and after the death, Jagadish, with his wife Dukhini and brother Mahesh, left his birthplace and came to Sri Mayapur to live in the company of Jagannath Mishra and other Vaishnavas. Lord Chaitanya asked Jagadish to go to Jagannath Puri to preach the Harinam Sankirtan movement. After returning from Jagannath Puri on the order of Lord Jagannath, he established deities of Jagannath in the village of Yashada Gram. It is said that when Jagadish Pandit brought the deity of Jagannath to Yashada Gram, he tied the heavy deity to a stick and thus brought him to the village. The priest of the temple still showed the stick used by Jagadish Pandit to carry the Jagannath deity. There's also, it's described in, as referred to in the purport, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila chapter 14, an interesting pastime involving Lord Chaitanya as a child, involving Jagadish Pandit. It's described that on one occasion, because Jagadish Pandit's home was not too far from Jagannath Mishra's home. And Lord Chaitanya, as a child, on one occasion, it was Ekadashi, he pretended to be sick. And he asked his parents to get some special Vishnu Prasadam that had been offered to the deities in the home of Jagadish. And so Jagadish had actually offered grains to Vishnu. And it was Ekadashi, so the devotees often, the devotees tried to abstain from grains. However, on this occasion, because Lord Chaitanya was sick, he said that the only way that he can be remedied from this sickness is if he takes the prasadam that's been offered to Vishnu. And so, firstly, Jagadish and others were surprised how this child could know that they'd offered this special rice offering to the deity. And regardless, they bought the prasad, and the Lord took, Lord Chaitanya took this Vishnu prasad, and he was remedied from this. And in the purport, Prabhupada says that the devotees should adhere to the Ekadashi fast. However, the Lord himself does not need to. So that's kind of where that comes from. Shriman Jagadish Pandit Ki Jai, Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai. Now the class has ended. I don't know if anyone has any corrections or comments.